Where to Ski with me, your host, John Morgan. Today's bonus episode is a new twist on Where to Ski. Occasionally, we'll start exploring the culture, history, and future of mountain towns. St. Anton is in the Austrian state of Tyrol. It's in western Austria, high up in the Tyrolean Alps, with aerial tramways and chairlifts covering the whole Arlberg region, which includes St. Anton, Lech, Zurs, Steuben, St. Christoph, and numerous smaller towns. Now it's a popular winter and summer resort among skiers, trekkers, and mountaineers. But it wasn't always that way. To understand St. Anton and its close neighboring towns, you have to understand the evolution from farming villages to a unified international ski resort. Mostly due to the location on the Arlberg Pass, these towns facilitated the transport of commodities like salt and silver to augment their agricultural routes. Then in 1885, the Austrian railway system opened a tunnel through the Alps, the Arlberg Railway Tunnel, with St. Anton becoming a major stop on the route between Innsbruck and Zurich. With the railroad came visitors, among them skiers and mountaineers. In 1901, the Arlberg Ski Club was founded. In 1907, Hannes Schneider started teaching skiers. Advent of surface lifts in Zurs in 1937 and the opening of the Galzigbahn in Anton in 1939 helped skiing really take off. Also, in the 1930s, Schneider and many other ski instructors from the area emigrated to the United States to help popularize the sport and spread Schneider's Arlberg progression. Although connected by roads in the 1940s and 50s, it wasn't until the 2000s that the multiple villages started to be really, truly connected by trains, tramways, and chairlifts. So what's it like to see all these changes and to be born and raised in this area with its small towns and rapidly evolving culture? What makes the Austrian town like this different from the large resorts in the U.S.? How do they address some of the issues confronting ski resorts today, like attracting and maintaining seasonal staff, keeping traditions alive while trying to grow and meet the needs of an international clientele? Let's find out from our guest today, Anna Schranz. Anna's family has lived in this region for seven generations. She was born and has lived most of her life in St. Anton and has seen many of the changes to the town. She is one of many who will be leading St. Anton into the future. As an intelligent, cosmopolitan, hardworking mother, she works at her family's hotel in St. Anton, skis when she can, and travels. Anna, welcome to Where to Ski, and thank you for sharing your experience growing up in the Arlberg. I imagine that life in a mountain town is very similar everywhere. I grew up in part in a small town in Vermont. Everyone knew everyone, very much a small town with a lot of new faces every year. What was it like when you were young? Is it a much smaller village then?
It was not really. First of all, thanks for having me on your podcast. I'm really excited and a bit nervous, but it was not much smaller. It was just, I would say, like the big hotels were there all the time. We got some more hotels. We got some more houses with apartments. You know, you can rent apartments here as well, or just bed and breakfast. That grew a lot the last years, but it's still small. Like our town doesn't grow bigger. It's we still only 2,700 residents, or like people who live here. So it is quite small, but guest beds raised. Yes, they did.
Did you grow up with sort of a core group of kids from St. Anton? Like at school, you went to school with?
Yes.
Stuck with you?
So like elementary school, of course, it's only the people from St. Anton. So yes, so you grow up with your friends, like they're all like in school, they're all the same age. So they're all from St. Anton. You don't, like nobody else goes. We have seasoners which bring their kids. So it was like back in the days, not anymore. And they went to school with us just for the winter season. So we have had a few extra kids in winter time, and then they left after the season, which was always fun. Like you get some new friends in winter, but then they have to leave again.
Did a lot of the people you went to school with stick around St. Anton, or did a lot of them leave?
Yes. No, most of them, like, of course, some left. They have different jobs. Not everybody works in the hotel or like restaurant business, but most of them are still here and they work here, either in ski shops or they have their own hotels or other businesses that are in St. Anton. So they're all still here, yes.
How about friends in some of the villages around, like Steuben or Lech, or any of that?
Yeah,
You like
not
see
that
any of them?
many, as we don't go to school together. The only thing that we have as a connection is our ski club, our racing club. So we do train together, we race together. So then you get to know the other kids from the other towns. Because, like, during winter season, you basically just stay in St. Anton. Like, you ski here. We have like huge mountains here. We don't have to go somewhere else. And our schools are here, like the elementary school and I think, I don't know, do you say secondary school? I think it's here, it's in St. Anton. So we basically stay here. So we only have our community here. So, and Stuben and Lech is a federal state. Like, it's another part of Austria. We are in Tirol and they are in Vorarlberg. So they go in separate, in different schools as well. So it's more about the, like, when we raced and we trained for the ski club, then we were together and then we got to know each other.
So I didn't know that about. Did you grow up training and racing and
Yeah, of course. I mean, I have a world champion dad in ski racing. And yes, so that's basically what you do here. You go after school, you go you meet up with your friends for skiing and then you attend to the ski club and then you have your trainings, you meet up on the mountain, you have your giant slalom training and yeah, that's what we do here for our hobby.
how, well, that's no much different than the U.S. There's a lot of
Yeah.
most towns, ski towns have got ski clubs, and
Yeah.
that's what a lot of the kids
Yeah.
do.
That's
And
like
they
our meeting up point, like going to the ski club. Yeah.
you left St. Anton and went to university after you.
It's not really university, but I left St. Anton. I went to tourism in school. So you, in Austria, I think the school system is a bit different. We go 4 years of elementary school and 4 years of secondary school. And then we can choose different schools where we learn our profession. So I went to tourism school then for 3 years, and that's where I basically learned how to cook. You need to learn everything there, like cooking, serving in a restaurant, doing the reception and everything. So that's what I did. So I went
You had a
and
lot of
what
options growing up, though. You could have gone pretty much anywhere, and you travel a lot. Do you?
Yeah, off season I traveled a lot. Yes,
And
I
what
did.
brings you back to St. Anton every time? You know, you've had a lot of chances probably to say, "Oh, it's beautiful here. I'm gonna stay."
Yes, that's true. That's true. 'Cause like I've been to Bali. I've been to America. Yeah, I've been everywhere in Europe. Of course, it's everywhere. It's nice, but I was always happy to come back home. Home is home. So that's where I grew up, and I guess where I always come back. And you know, you grow up in this really small town, as you mentioned in the beginning. But like in winter season, it's quite a city. Because of of many guests. So it's exciting. I like to be here. I like to interact with all the guests. So I could not even do another job and do it somewhere else because I think I need the winter season. Yeah, the winter time in St. Anton, definitely.
You know, there's been a lot of, I've seen a fair number of changes in Anton over the years. You know, new lifts,
Yeah.
interconnection of the lifts, more roads, more interaction like with Lech and with Zurs and with Steuben. Has
Yes.
that changed the life around there and how you interact with some of the people?
Not really, because like of course we have more tourists because the tourists can ski now to Zurs and Lech. Same for the guests in Lech and Zurs can come to St. Anton. We have more tourists, but like the locals from Lech and Zurs or St. Anton, like you know, it sounds weird, but like we are stuck in our town for winter because we work 6 days a week, or like my mom, 7 days a week. So we, yeah, winter season is basically for yourself. You don't get to see many other people besides the tourists, of course. But yeah, not other locals now. That's not possible because we're all hardworking.
Now, you have sort of two seasons. You've got sort of
Yeah.
December to April and then midsummer. In the off season, when the services stop and the crowds and all the staff move away, what
Yeah.
changes about St. Anton when everyone's gone, when all the guests are gone?
Well, to be honest, it sounds weird now, but we every after like every mid-season or off-season, we have like a little lockdown. It is, you know, from one day to another, everybody leaves. all the seasoners, all the workers, all the tourists, and then from one day to another, it's basically empty and everything is closed. Like it's all restaurants closed, all hotel closed, the lifts are closed, which is what's open. The supermarket is open and the gas station. And it's basically every year we have a little lockdown. So when we had the lockdown back in the days, the COVID 2020, it was just simply like we just closed everything like every year. So it's every year a little lockdown, but it's nice, you know, you can come, like you calm down, then you have time for your family and friends, and then you get to see your friends again. Because in the beginning of the season, you don't have time. And we always say to each other, like my friends and me, so we see each other in April because everybody works hard. So yeah, but it's nice to have some off season, even though it's quiet.
So when you get to the off season, where do you like to go? Go back to your travel. People in
Yes.
Colorado, for example, they take off in April and they go to Mexico or somewhere warm. Where do you go?
Yes, like we normally do that as well. So we like I used to go to Bali or like somewhere warm, like really warm, where you can like where you don't have mountains or snow or anything. But these days, as you know, I have a daughter and my partner is from Belgium, so I travel to Belgium then. But then we do some summer holidays as well. Like we go to Italy, for example. That's our favorite place. And but back in the days, I traveled longer, like for a month or at least like 3 weeks.
I'm going to sort of change direction a little bit.
Yeah.
You have a lot of staff that come from other countries.
Yeah.
In the US, one of the biggest problems facing the ski resorts is there's no place to house them. So you get to the big ski areas, and sometimes they'll be driving for an hour and a half, 2 hours every day, or on a bus for 2 hours just to get to work. You take a different approach over there. You keep a lot of those people in town and
Oh,
house them.
we have
How do you
them in
do?
our hotel. They don't have to go anywhere. They don't even have to leave the hotel. They have their staff room in our hotel. So here in Austria, or like the tourist areas, we offer the jobs with a free accommodation, which is really luxury because, of course, for example, in Vienna, you don't get that. You get a job, but they don't care where you come from. But here we do offer, every hotel offers their staff room in town at least, or at the hotel. And we are lucky enough to have our staff in our hotel. They all have a single bedroom. They all have their own shower and own toilet, which is also luxury because not everybody has the possibility to give everybody a single bedroom. And we don't have that big problem with accommodation here because we have that since forever that we offer staff room with the job. We are
That's
lucky to have
interesting. In
that.
the US, this has turned into a big problem that this ski areas are not affordable for
Yeah.
people that work there. The
I know,
skiing
yeah.
is very expensive. They go there to ski and they live 2 hours away, so they can't take advantage of anything. You really help them out a lot. They also get, if they come there to and they want to ski, they also get discounts from
Yes, exactly. So
the lift company.
they if you buy a season pass, you for example at the moment the season pass is 1,000 euros, but you have to work 3 months or 3.5 months in one hotel or bar or restaurant, whatever, and then you get half the price returned. So they get 500 euros back in the end of the season, but they have to show that they worked here for 3.5 months in the same place. That's also like that helps us so people have a motivation to stay. It sounds weird, but you know, people could also like just leave the places whenever they want to and say like, oh, I tried to find another job, and but that helps. But they get reduction, of course, yes.
In the US, it's a very transient population. People move around a lot. As you're saying, they stay for like a month and they leave. Do you get people coming back year after year that work for
Yes.
support staff?
Yes, it got better now after COVID. After co like right after COVID, it was really difficult to find stuff, but now we have like our kitchen, for example, we have them since over 10 years, cleaning ladies as well, Goran, our driver, we have a driver in our hotel. He's there since I'm a little child, since over 30 years. And the restaurant staff, we have regulars not coming every season. Like for example, now we have a waiter. He was here 2 seasons ago. So, but they come back because I think we do offer a really good like work atmosphere. Like they have a lot of free time. They have a lot of time to go skiing during the day. They have a good accommodation and a good payment as well.
That's a big difference from the US. How hard
Yeah.
is it? How hard is it for those people that are moving to the Aalborg, the ones that weren't born there, to assimilate into the into St. Anton society? Do any of them
You
like?
mean now the seasoners or like really moving to St. Anton?
Really moving to St. Anton?
Well, you know, people who moved to St. Anton been here and they fell in love with St. Anton, so that's why they move here. But like there's actually nobody who moves here and haven't been here before and don't know like the area or anything. So I think it's quite easy for them because I think everybody who moves here is in love with St. Anton. A lot of seasonaires, for example, they come here. We have a good friend of mine. She's married to English. I hope I don't say the wrong. New Zealand. He's from there. He came for a season for to work here for the season, and he stayed. They're married now. They have 2 kids, and a lot of seasonaires do that. Like they either fall in love or like they just want to stay here. We have a lot of English people living here from England. Because they worked here before and didn't want to leave anymore.
Do you consider them friends, like on a level with the kids you grew up with?
Of course. Well,
Yeah.
yeah, like I have a lot of international friends because you do grow up with a lot of tourists and even like seasonaires, we have a lot of before the Brexit, a lot of English people coming here to work for the season and a lot of Swedish people and yeah, you find people and like you become friends with them definitely, and they ca keep coming back for the season, so you keep having those friendships over the years. Yes,
Do you see some of
that's
the,
good.
with people coming in from outside, do you see some of the social issues that affect other parts of Europe affecting St. Anton at all?
No, we don't. I mean, we hear the news and everything, but like it doesn't. No, it doesn't
Doesn't hit St.
affect.
Anton. It's up, you're up in the
No.
mountains.
Yeah, no.
So what's your favorite time of year in St. Anton?
That's a good question, and I kept thinking about it. I think it's December, like the beginning of December coming to Christmas, when all the guests coming back, when it's snowy and when the Christmas lights are up everywhere, and it has this romantic flair. And I really like the like December, it's really nice, and springtime. Springtime here is amazing. When you're up on the mountain, you can sit in the sun, do a little bit of skiing. That's like my two favorite times of
You do get to ski. What's your favorite place to ski? What's your own favorite day?
my own favorite day. I mean, I would, if it's possible, if I have a day off, I start like at 10 o'clock. We go up to Kapal. That's a really nice mountain. You see the whole town and you have a really nice view up there, and then I like to just ski around Galzig and St. Christoph. That's like just here, have a good lunch maybe on top of Galzig or at the Adelberg Thaya. That's in St. Christoph, amazing restaurant. That's like I don't get to ski like long sometimes, but like just a few lifts is already a good day for me.
Well, that's now let's talk about your family's hotel, the Schranz.
Yes.
It's really it's a delightful spot. I've stayed there. And it combines traditional Austrian charm with some very cosmopolitan aspects to it. How hard is it today to be able to keep that traditional part alive when you're running a cosmopolitan hotel and you're faced with all the realities of running a hotel?
It is quite easy because we want to provide guests the traditional atmosphere at our hotel, so it makes it really easy with our all like you've been at our hotel. It's really a lot of woodwork everywhere, which makes it cozy. But then we try to do some modern aspects with in the spa area, for example. It's quite easy to combine. It's really, I think what's really important to keep it traditional and keep it cozy, because guests want to come to the mountain area and not be in a super modern house where it's just like, yeah, not a lot coziness. So that's really important to have it cozy, to have like a little fireplace or like nice lights in the evening, or yeah.
I think some of it comes down to
Yeah.
staff too, and how they work
Yeah,
with the guests.
that's true. I mean, we are happy to have, and we get a lot of compliments for our staff. They're friendly and nice. So, and if they feel comfortable at the hotel, it gives the whole hotel a good atmosphere, and guests keep telling us that, and we are happy that we have this good atmosphere.
Now, you guys keep, I've started to open in the summer. What kind of guests are you seeing in the summer? Is it a different crowd than the winter?
Yes, it is. It's more families because, you know, like winter season, like we have a good skiing area, but it's for children, it's a bit difficult. So we have in summer more families than in winter. And, you know, with the e-biking, everybody is capable now to go up the mountain by bike, which is amazing. And we get like we have a lot of guests in summer now. We closed for 10 summers because it was not that busy anymore, but then we opened up again and it's so busy. We didn't thought it's going to be like that. But a lot of hikers, like they want to go for nice walks in the woods. You can go up with the cable cars and walk around on the mountains. So hiking and biking is like the main guests here.
In some areas, there's like hut-to-hut hiking. Is there
Yes,
any hut-to-hut up there?
you can do that. There are a lot of huts and you can do hut to hut. I don't even know if there is like a own guide, but you can do that. We have guests sometimes checking in for one night, and they leave their luggage here, and then they do 2 or 3 days hut to hut, and then they come back and enjoy 2 or 3 days at our hotel again.
Now, can our listeners find you at the hotel?
Yes, I mean, I try to be there every day. Since I have a daughter now with 1.5, she's handful, but I'm at the hotel every day, so they can find me there, or my mom or my sister. So it is really a family hotel. So one of us is always there.
Anna, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about your life in St. Anton. During the season, you'll see Anna any day of the week at her family's hotel, with her daughter in town, or perhaps on the mountain taking a few laps in her spare time. We've found the development of the region as an association of small towns has created communities dedicated to skiing in almost every aspect, creating and maintaining an ambience or vibe different from anywhere else. This development path has given each small business proprietor significant ownership in the Arlberg experience, including a deep dedication to their traditions, to supporting their people, and to a superior service experience. It's also provided a framework for friendly in-town, on-the-hill, competitive environment that helps keep costs in check and quality high. If you like our podcast, please share them. Visit our website, wheretoski.org, and listen to perspectives on other areas. Thanks for joining.
We feel it, we feel it. So round and round we go. We feel it.